Nick Chadwick, everyone.
Welcome, pal. And he scored quite a lot of goals for a goalkeeper. Big don't score. Hey, you need one more player. Get yourself on, son.
Chairman's lad who was playing, just sit down in the middle of the pitch.
He give you champagne before the game?
Before the game. This was before we got...
Oh, well, he's got...
I was going round nicking everybody's little arm.
Physio used to cane me.
Why?
I used to say, like, can I get Rob? He's like, no, you're not going to play anyway, so just leave it. Right, we're on.
We're back. How you doing, pal?
All right, mate, yeah. You?
You're looking well. He's not coming here. Training gear this week.
It's bad, that training gear.
Well, looks bad on you, it's tight.
Hey, I scored on Tuesday.
I know you did. And after you scored, I got about 10 messages saying, make sure you ask Jordan why he ran off kissing the badge.
I definitely didn't. I didn't even celebrate.
You did.
My old team, so I just calmed everyone down.
Well, Nicky Adams messaged me saying Jordan were kissing the badge.
Fuck off.
Did you?
No, there's no chance.
You've only been there 2 minutes.
It was like, so one of the lads had played a shit ball through when I was on.
Yeah.
So I was pissed off and I was shouting at him. And all of a sudden, this ball ricochet just fell at my feet from 20, 25.
Is that the Irish lad?
Who?
Ricochet. So you put it through
shit.
To you?
So shit. So I've just took my anger out, hit it, and it's gone in finally, scored.
And then you ran off. Absolutely no loyalty, have you?
What have you been up to?
I've just come back from Northern Ireland. So they have, it used to be called the Milk Cup. It's called the Super Cup now.
The Milk Cup?
Yeah.
Right.
Well, there's like, Man United have been going for years, so like, David Beckham and Giggsy and all them have played in it. So this time they were like Man United, Rangers, Celtic, Seville, Brighton, Newcastle, and then obviously all the Northern Irish teams. And they have an under-16s and under-18s competition, so it's pretty good.
So you was looking for players?
Yeah, well, just looking, just mingling.
Any good ones?
Yeah, a few good ones, yeah. Yeah, but like, yeah, I was sat with like some of the youth development, like talent spotters from England, and it's just good networking to be out there.
Yeah.
Didn't even have a beer.
You didn't have one?
No.
Why?
I don't know. I booked an Airbnb for myself and I shouldn't have done it. It was like the guy who answered the door, I hope he's not listening, but looked like Hills of Eyes. I was scared for me. Like I put a chair behind the door.
With that risk,
he weren't from this planet. it was out in the sticks. It said a 10 minute walk to Coleraine, like to where all the football were. It was a 15 minute taxi, and there were no food, there were no kettle, no TV in my room. The Wi-Fi didn't work. It was awful, so I couldn't even entertain myself in my room. The Wi-Fi kept stopping, so it was terrible.
Just got to use your imagination there, pal. I'm good at that.
Your face kept popping into my mind, so would not work.
Who have we got today, then?
So we have got, I didn't know until he mentioned it, but it's going to sound dodgy, this, but we played together when we were younger.
Right.
Yeah.
You didn't get the contract, did you?
No, I didn't. I think he'll probably tell you that in a minute.
Right. Well.
But one thing that I was impressed with, I were looking through his Wikipedia, obviously doing a bit of research like you do, and he scored quite a lot of goals for a goalkeeper.
I had a look, to be fair. What's killed him is when he played for Chester, he got knocked out of the league. So all his goals there got wiped off. So that doesn't help him.
But. Oh, is that true? Oh, we can come into that. Well, that might, yeah. That might bring you back a little bit.
I'll just start by saying we're not here to talk about how shit I was at Miles. Right? We're here to talk about you, Chaddy, all right?
All right. I wasn't sure whether you wanted me to speak or not.
Johnny, introduce him.
Yeah. An ex-pro Prem Championship player and a very good coach.
Why have you just come on and lied there?
That's as good as it's going
to
get.
He's that good of a coach. He was too good for me to do any good.
I'm going to sign you.
Yeah. Nick Chadwick, everyone.
Welcome, pal.
Cheers. It's funny you're going about the Milk Cup there. I was actually the top goal scorer in the Milk Cup back in the day.
God.
We've won.
Yeah. That's the only ever time, by the way.
Was you?
But yeah, so when you were saying about Northern Ireland and the 16s and that, we went over when I was at Evan. Ran riot. We had an absolute ball. And we won the Milk Cup and I got the top goal scorer. And I think the year before me was, like you've just said, Giggs, Sheringham, all the top boys had won it. So so it was quite a prestigious thing for the kids. Yeah. And I thought it had gone. And you saying you're going back there, it's
yeah.
It still is.
Well, yeah, it's called the Super Cup now. And on the first day, they have a big parade. Like,
yeah, we've done that. Yeah,
yeah, had all the parade going through the streets.
Why is it called the Milk Cup?
Because I think it was sponsored by milk. Seriously, was
by cows.
I don't know.
Yeah, cows. Yeah, no, I don't know. Like it were, yeah, it was some kind of sponsorship to do with milk, and obviously the youngsters, and I don't know. And yeah, it used to be called the Milk Cup, and now it's called the
Super. I don't think anyone's ever asked that question before.
It's the weirdest one ever.
It's a weird one.
So
it's a big one, isn't it, for the youngsters?
It's massive. Yeah,
we was lucky. Well, I was lucky. I don't know whether you looked. But you scored like 55 goals in three seasons for Everton.
48 in 75 appearances.
Ah, there you go.
Don't question me.
Yeah, that was when I was younger. I scored a lot of goals, so I always scored. So I went from Everton. I was from Stoke originally, and I went up to Everton, and we were like the first batch of kids that went to Everton that were like out of towners. We were the first Woollybacks, if you like, to go into Everton. Yeah. So there was three of us from Stoke. There was a few from Ireland, and we started to come into the club. And I don't think we would accepted that well back in the day at the time. We were only like 10, 11. So we're getting drove up by our parents up the M6. And at the time you had like Joey Barton, Bradley Orr, Phil Jagielka, I think was there at the time. So there were some good players, but they weren't that receptive to these kids from Stoke and wherever else coming in.
I'm not sure Joey's changed, has it? You don't like many outsiders.
No. I got away with some of the stuff went on then, even when we were kids. And
so how old was he? Is he lads, same age as you then?
Same age.
So what was he like as a kid?
Just the same. I mean, lovable rogue, isn't he? Lovable to me, he was lovable because I got on with him really well. Some of the lads at the time couldn't put up with the antics. I mean, I remember going to Leeds and we were like 12, 13 years of age and we got changed in like the girls' changing room. And straight away there was a pink pair of trainers in there and he put it in one of the lads' bags. So when he's pulled his trainers out, they all start laughing. Now at 12 years of age, that's hard to take, you know what I mean? And he couldn't handle it. You see people crumbling straight away. But that was the Scouse humour all over. And I bought into it. I liked it. And I did quite well.
Because you've got a little bit of a twang now,
haven't
you?
Now, yeah. Now. Yeah. But back then as an 11, 12-year-old, I didn't.
Yeah.
But it was great. I used to go up there Tuesday, Thursdays, bit of training, get in with the lads. Was doing quite well. And back down the M6, dad get me a McDonald's or whatever, back down the M6 and then up for a game on a Sunday. So from 11 and 12 up to 16, that was me really. That's what we did year in, year out. And it's only now you look back and think, my dad taking me up the M6, after work, taking me up the M6.
Don't even think about it at the time, do you?
No. It's okay now.
But he was loving it because he dropped me at training. Then they'd go and have a couple of pints and watch Monday Night Football or whatever it was with some of the other dads. And then we'd come back. So it was just... it was good for me and my dad and our relationship as well, going up the M6 all the time. And as you said, I scored quite a lot of goals and I was always one of the bigger ones. So
did you always know at that age that's what you wanted to do?
Like us all, I think that's what I wanted to do. Yeah, I think if you're going to ask me as a young kid, I'd go, I want to be a footballer. And like everyone, you get laughed off and you're not going to be able to do it. But they were good at Everton. They came down. I was 14, I think, when I signed my scholarship with a year's pro. And they came into the school. They presented me with a shirt. They made a bit of a song and dance. Then the people in the school and the teachers and all that started. There was a bit of like clamour, even when I was a kid.
Yeah.
And they made you feel appreciated and special in that way, really. So,
but that helped with it. It was good. School, then, didn't it?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, I've always done all right with that.
When I was younger, I was very good. And Everton...
I've heard this rumour.
Everton tried to sign me and they wanted me that much. They took me to the ground on a match day, paraded me around the pitch with like my dad and my granddad. I was in with all the players getting signed shirts and it was like, this lad's going to be unbelievable. And then I fucked them off and went to Bolton.
And did you?
I should never have done that.
Is that all you're going to regret?
What did Bolton do?
Nothing.
So why did you go there?
I don't know.
Just because it were closer?
I think so, yeah. And I'd been at Bolton already.
Right.
But they wanted to sign
me. Were Bolton as big as Everton back then?
Probably not, no. I don't think
Bolton have ever been.
I don't think my dad could be asked going to Everton.
Like, you know, like higher in the league, I was trying to think, obviously, because like were Bolton in the Premier League then?
Sims? Yeah, it was. About the same at that time, but obviously you don't know what's going to happen.
I've got a good academy at Bolton as well.
Yeah, yeah, it was good. Yeah, yeah. I didn't last very long, but yeah, that's so what
was Rooney in your age group?
No, he was below me. So in my age group was Sean O'Hanlon, remember Sean? Peter Clark was a year above, who's had a good career. George Pilkington had a career. They were in the year above me. But at my age was like Joey Barton, Phil Jagielka,
yeah,
Bradley Orr, and they got rid of everyone. So I thought we had a brilliant team. And then like 14, 15, they made a cull for some reason. They merged two age groups. So only me and Sean O'Hanlon stayed from actually our age group, and we went up a year and played with the year above.
What, and they got rid of them for
it? They got rid of them. So I think Bradley Orr went to Newcastle. I think Joey went to Man City. Phil Jagielka went to Man City, and there was others as well. We were good players. For whatever reason they did it, I'm not so sure.
Do you think they ever look back and think, why did we do that? Or is it just...
You must do, yeah.
Or do they just think, right, that was our decision?
Yeah. I heard that they always regretted you going to Bolton.
Carry on, Chad.
So... Yeah, they probably would have done, but we merged and went up a year, and then we
did. You know, you were one of the better players then at that age group. Did you feel like that you were one of the better ones?
Yeah, we had a good side. So even as kids, we were winning a lot of games, and we were playing well and beating teams. And I was playing up front for them. And I was, as I say, I was quite physically developed quite early, so. The game was easy for me at the time. You said you were a good player, George, as a kid. The game's easy when you're playing well, and especially a front player, and you're scoring goals. And I always found it. I always found it quite easy at them levels. And I always played up a couple of years. So I played. I was 14, 15, and came on in the Youth Cup, which was a big deal at the time. And I always managed to be playing up and above my years, probably because I could physically handle it.
It does help.
Told me
when
I was doing
it
well. Yeah, told me I was doing well.
Yeah.
And it was just all my time at Everton was just natural progressions from like 15s, 14s to 15s to 16s, 18s, reserves, first team. It just all felt fairly natural. I never thought too much about it. I just went and played and loved it. And that was the way it was, really.
I suppose it always helps if you're scoring goals as well. You always know that you're going to get a chance higher up, don't you? And you score goals in, you're going to get, and eventually... You'll end up in the first team.
Used to might be the same as forward. My mindset was really, I just wanted to score. So if I score, I'm doing quite well. So I'd go into the reserves at I was like 16 and I'd nick a goal, or 17, I'd nick a couple of goals. And all of a sudden, you're playing regularly in the reserves because you keep nicking goals. I remember Walter Smith saying to me at the time, I went to see Walter Smith as a 17-year-old and ask him why I wasn't playing, which I look back now and think. But I was 17, I was scoring for fun in the reserves. And I remember, I think Everton had Steve Watson playing up front, who was a right back, and somebody else. I don't think they weren't really centre forward. Franny Jeffers had gone to Arsenal, and they were struggling for forwards. And I was scoring for fun, and I was like smelling myself a bit. So I was like, I was shitting myself, but I was like knocking on, went to see Walter Smith, and I was like...
Did anybody tell you to do that, or did you just go do it?
Did anyone tell you not to do that?
Yeah, some of the fans, when they see me outside the ground. No, but yeah, there was a little bit of like, there was a bit of a clamour, because I was scoring all the time.
So I did it anyway. Said, go and see...
Some of the fans.
Yeah, I think so.
Get yourself in there, Nick, you should be in the first team.
I was getting all that, like... The Echo, the Liverpool paper, The Echo had like a pink edition at the time.
Yeah.
And I was featuring that quite a bit because I was scoring for the reserves all the time. And I was just a young lad who was like doing well, who was like really ambitious and thought this football looks like easy. Do you know what I mean? I'll waltz this Premier League. And I went to see Walter Smith and he was good with me. I half knocked on. I was shitting myself really. And I thought he might tell me to do one, whatever. But he just said, you're doing really well. He said, you're 17 years of age. You're making my life difficult, which is what your job, that's what you need to do. You're scoring in the reserves. He said, you remind me of Ali McCoist in the type that you don't always have a good game, but you score. And I thought that was true. At times I thought, I'm having a stinker here. Just get a goal. And it's like, that'll mask over it. Do you know what I mean? So he was right. I didn't always play well, but I scored.
I think that's where, Jordan, you're going wrong.
I'm playing shit.
You're playing shit. I'm not getting.
We're not allowed to mention Fylde, are we? You played well at Fylde, never scored.
In a bit, yeah, we'll get on to that.
No, but that was a good assessment from Walter Smith at the time, and he gave me confidence because he could have shot me down.
Did he come and watch the
all the time
reserve games? Yeah,
all the time.
Well, that's good then, because you mentioned that me and you played together.
Yeah,
I came to Everton for a while.
So about that time, and I was lucky because at 17 I was playing in the reserves. So, with like your Phil Jevons and Daddy Canamatris.
Yeah.
And at that time it was reserves. So we had pros playing. So like I remember Alec Cleland, who was at Rangers before, played Scott Gemmell, Mark Pembridge. Probably won't like me mentioning it, but they played in the reserves quite a lot.
Yeah.
David Unsworth. So it was good for me. Sometimes I play up front like Kevin Campbell or Big Dunk. And I was thinking, how good's this playing with like fellas who were in the Premier League? And against opposition as well, so like David May or Stephen Henshaw at Liverpool or whatever. I was getting all these good experiences, and it was really good for me. And then I think you came. We had a couple of trialists coming in, as any club does. And I think I remember you coming. I think we played at Gig Lane, didn't we? Once,
Man United.
Yeah, and I remember you coming in because my mindset at the time was a centre forward was coming in, and I that kicked me on because I wanted to prove I was better than whoever was coming in.
Which was quite easy.
We never got a deal, so I must have done all right. But I remember you coming in, and I think you scored a couple as well, didn't you?
Yeah, I did all right. I thought I did all right. But like I mentioned this story before, like once, like when you're training with the first team, I just thought they were at a different level to me. Mm. Like I honestly didn't think that I would be a Premier League player because I was training, like say, like Kevin Campbell, Phil Jevons, Franny Jeffers were there. Yeah. And then, like, yeah, I just felt like they were at a different level to me. I don't know whether that's because I'd just come into it and I might have finally got there. Yeah. But, yeah, no, I just felt like they're in a different league.
I think I had an advantage there because I was just sort of part of that process embedded in probably slowly. And it just, I said before, for me, it just seemed the next inevitable step. As anyone coming in from the outside into that probably would have been quite daunting for them.
I think I was only 20 as well, and I weren't even shaving yet, so I was quite like physically like I think I've told this story before, but they put me up in the, it's like a Marriott hotel, I think it's like not far from the training ground.
Yeah,
I think it was a Marriott, I can't remember anyway, but Duncan Ferguson was in there and Don Hutchinson.
Right.
So them two were like together, and we played a reserve game. Them two both played. I don't know why. I think it might have been like coming back from injury. And we've gone back to the hotel and them two straight to the hotel bar. and they've gone, Gareth, are you having a beer? And I'm like, no, I'm on trial. I was like, no, I'm like, we're in the morning.
Yeah.
And Big Dunk's gone, oh, don't fucking worry, big man. I'll get you with me. Like, we'll go jacuzzi, go gym. You'll do nothing. So I was like, oh, go on, then I'll have a beer. So I went and sat next to him. And obviously you've got Big Dunk, Don Hutchinson, and them guys can drink.
I'm sure Scott was going to say it wasn't going to be a short one.
My God. I can't remember getting to bed. I remember one of them putting me in my bed and he said, like, I'll get you up in the morning, don't worry. Knock on the door about 7:30 in the morning. There's a, like, we had a driver. So the driver come and the roughest I've ever been. I'm being sick in the shower. Like, I was like, shit, I've fucking blown it here. Anyway, all the way on the way to training ground, Big Dunk, don't worry, big man. Hey, get with me. You'll be fine. So we've gone in. It's a bad Scottish accent.
Did he become Irish?
I'm trying my best. Anyway, we've got into training. We've got changed, got our kit on. I've got my towel around my neck. I'm walking out with my flip-flops, walking with Dunk. He's off to like the, I can't remember, De Vea gym or whatever. I'm thinking, I'm going with him. I'm going to sit in jacuzzi. Walter Smith shouts over, talking to Big Dunk, and Big Dunk's going, hey, you need one more player. Get yourself on some. And he literally pushed me over. And I was like, you bastard. And him and Don Hutchinson were walking off, laughing their heads off. And I went and joined with the first team just doing doggies and five-a-side. And it was I was horrendous.
Yeah.
So well, talking about not getting
back in the day then, you weren't your stripes through stuff like that. I think like I remember we went a couple of end of season trips and you weren't your stripes. Obviously you had to perform well in training and training the games, but
the fact that they seen you were a good lad, then they'd want to help you more.
Yeah.
I think it was more like that back then, wasn't it? Than possibly.
Well, like I kind of thought if I didn't sit with them and have a drink, like they wouldn't have my back, and they wouldn't, like they wouldn't want me to do well. Like
you have to have 10 pints.
Oh, right. I don't even think I had that.
Could have had a couple and said, right, lads, I've got a train tomorrow.
I think there's been many a young lad who's been seen off on something like that.
But that was like, they were the characters back then though, weren't it? And they could they got up fresh as a daisy, went and did whatever, and they were brilliant.
He was brilliant. Dungan to me when I was a young player around that time, I remember I was in the squad for one of the first times, and I come to park on the players' car park, and I'm thinking I've arrived here. Like this is a bit more like it.
In your own car?
Yeah, what car was you?
Yeah, what you saying?
What was the driver? It sounded like a little compact BM. Remember the little cut-off compact? So I bounced into Goodison with my suit on. I've thought I've arrived. Like, I went to get into the car park, and the steward's gone, it's full, mate. And I'm like, I didn't want to say, but I'm like, I've got my suit on. And he went, no, it's car park's full. You'll have to go and park. There's a school down the road. You'll have to park.
Did he not recognise you?
No, he went on to me at all. So I've had to drive. I've had to pay a fiver to park my car. And I've had to bounce into the change room. And I'm going, I couldn't even get on the fucking car park. And Dunk's gone up. He was like, club captain, he said, I'll sort that. And to be fair, he sorted it. And then he spent the next 6 months saying, I remember when you couldn't even get on the car park, son.
You was quite highly rated at Everton though, weren't you? So
you made your debut at 18.
I did really well. I mean, when I was at Everton coming through, and I just was like so confident, and a lot of the coaching staff were brilliant. Colin Harvey, who was my youth team coach, he was really hard on me, but he worked me to the bone. So I was fit, I was strong, I was confident. Andy Holden went from the youth team to the reserve team, Taff, who loved the bones of me. So I knew I had someone who had me back there in terms of on the staff. And I could just play with freedom and not even think about the game and just try, as I say, try and score and try and do well. And I always managed to score. And even when I broke through, when David Moyes came, I think he made a big play on giving some of the young lads a chance.
So it was him who gave you the debut?
I came on under Walter Smith in the EFL Trophy or whatever it may be. And we played Crystal Palace that night. And I came on, and it was a draw. And we had to get on the huddle at the pitch at the end, and he's got his penalties, like, who wants one? So I'm shitting myself. I didn't want one, but I'm saying I did, because I thought, chance to score. I've got to go.
And you have to say it like me as well, don't you?
So they've gone like four players, and it was Crystal Palace, I think they were in the Championship at the time. And it was like, they had four takers anyway, but they didn't have a fifth. So I'm like half putting my hand up, but I was thinking, my arse was gone. So I think they put someone as fifth penalty taker anyway. And then they went, first sudden death will be you, Chad. So I was like, great.
Sound.
Yeah, until it come to it. And then, so they were losing 5-4. And I think Dougie Freeman stepped up for Palace. And if he scored, they went through. And if he missed, I was on first sudden death. And I was like 17, and I was thinking, I fucking hope he scores. I was like, my arse was gone. And he scored.
Oh, so you never got to take it.
He scored, so I didn't take it. And he scored. And then it kicked off in the changes after as well between some of the staff and some of the players. So I went through this like, made up I've got on. Oh, no, I'm going to take a penalty, sudden death, to now there's a big kickoff going on in the dressing room. So it was like, it was a crazy night. That was my first experience under Walter Smith. And then mainly it was under David Moyes after.
Do you not feel that is football to a T though? It's such up and down so quickly.
Yeah, definitely.
Like you're there, like what you'd be 18 were you?
So I think it was that night I was 17, 18, around that time. Yeah. I think I just turned 18 maybe.
Yeah.
But it's mad, like you work, and I relate this to some of the young lads I've worked with recently, you're working all your life to get that opportunity. And then when you get on, it's like, now I've got to deliver. You know what I mean? And it took me, suddenly that first game, I was thinking, because I took a penalty. I mean, I wasn't the greatest penalty taker ever. I missed a few for the reserves, to be fair. But there was an opportunity for me to go and score straight away and make an impact. But I was half like, half hitting myself.
Do you look back now and wish you'd have put your hand up for that fifth one?
I think I did at the time, and rightly so. I don't think they wanted to put me under that pressure. I think they wanted to protect me a little bit.
Not fifth penalty as well.
Yeah.
Just come on fresh.
Yeah. Could always, you could always work in your advantage.
What I learned from that is what I took into the next few games was if I get an opportunity again, I just want to score.
Yeah.
And as I say, David Moyes came and I'll always be grateful to him because he gave me an opportunity straight away.
What was he like as a manager?
He was tough. I mean,
because he did really well for Everton, didn't he? And then obviously then he moved on to
United. He did brilliant. And I look at him now, I think he was like, he was still in his 30s when he took over at Everton.
Yeah.
So he was younger than what I am now. And I think
what was good about him?
Well, to walk in that dressing room, you had like Gascoigne, Ginola, Duncan Ferguson. You had some big hitters in that dressing room at the time. And I remember his first meeting. And I remember him being really stern and really firm. And looking back now, I think, fair play. And I remember him saying like, mess me around once, I might give you a second chance. But the second time,
you just said Gascoigne
balls off. Yeah, he was there.
Yeah, okay.
And I'm thinking he's just addressed all these big hitters and just set the tone straight away. And his authority was there from day one.
What was Gazza like then?
Yeah, he was just as you would expect. He was like a brilliant footballer, brilliant to me, brilliant to all of us as young lads. I think all them big characters were brilliant to us young players coming through. They didn't half help us, and he was one. And then he'd done some mad stuff. Like, remember the mop with Ginola when Ginola signed, he ran out with the mop on his head. As if that
was, so he had long hair.
Xavier was doing the interview and he lashed a big bucket of water on him from above in the kitchens. And
it was just non-stop, wasn't it?
Yeah, non-stop. Yeah. Non-stop. But obviously he had the issues as well. And
what was his talent like in training?
Like,
was he exceptional in training?
Yeah. Yeah, he'd lost a yard, but you could see, I remember watching him in 1990. In the World Cup, and when he drove past people and his arms come out and moved them out of the way, he still had that. And it was like, to see that up close, and he was still the same Paul Gascoigne, he was just not as strong and not as fit.
Yeah.
Didn't have the same probably legs as what he'd had years before. But for me, it was like, a lot of the days at that time are like, I'm 17, 18, here's Paul Gascoigne.
Wow.
I'm talking to him or I'm training with him. Like, and in the Reggie games, the advice would be coming whilst he was playing. He wanted to help us and the opposition, to be fair. He'd help the opposition.
Would they?
I'm mad, yeah.
What? Is telling them what to do?
Yeah. He'd like,
don't be giving that ball away there.
Get past me now, son. You know, like, to the opposition.
Really? See, that's class, isn't it?
Yeah. I think he ran off once. I think he needed a shit once, and he just ran off. And everyone was like, where's he gone?
Just ran
and he come back on. I'm so sorry, lads. I just needed to go.
One of the best stories that I've heard from him, and he was shooting practice with Gary Lineker. Have you heard this one?
Mm.
So they used to do like shooting after every training session, and there was like a goal, then there was a fence, then there was like a bit of a field behind. And him and Gary Lineker were having like a competition, and I think Gary Lineker was something like 4 goals ahead of him, and he like, obviously it was for a bet. Gaz has laid one in, fired off to the side. He's hit it over the bar, over the fence, into the field. So Gaz is like, fuck's sake, ran, jumped over the fence. Like Gary Lineker tells his story. He said, that was it, it was gone. Like nobody saw him.
He came back for 3 days.
No, he come back exactly 24 hours later when they were doing shooting practice again. He hadn't been in training all day. Jumped back over the fence with ball under his arm and went, I've got it. And when he found out, he'd be like, he just left, jumped in his car, went on the lash for 24 hours, missed training, and just come back. But the genius to come back at like the exact same time.
Yeah. The ball thought, under his arm. Thought through, innit?
You can't really get a ball. Imagine that at KP. He's just jumping all.
Would have been all day.
I love that story.
He had like, so we had like Archie Knox and Walt Smith loved him. Like, they absolutely loved him. So we had a table
Walt
tennis.
Walt Smith had him at Rangers.
Yeah,
there.
Yeah. So we had a table tennis on the indoor, and he was mustard at table tennis. So we'd be playing table tennis all the time. But he used to smoke as well. So he'd be like, I need a tab. And then so he'd just be playing table tennis, smoking like fuck. And you'd be thinking, mad this. And he had like a thing where he got into tuna. So like, go to the canteen and he'd just be eating tuna out of the tin. And then he'd just get another tin. And another tin, and he'd just go mad on the tins of tuna.
That was his his weight loss days, though, weren't it?
Yeah. Sit-ups with another one. He had another one about like he wanted to get into shape. So we'd just like, he'd walk past the gym, and it was guaranteed he'd be doing sit-ups. It was just like, he wouldn't just do like 100 and that'd be it. It would be like all day.
I'm supposed to have been in bits.
So after your debut, and how did it go from there? Like, did you settle in all right?
I came on a couple of times and it went quite well. I thought I did all right. And then I came on at Goodison against Bolton. And I think we were 2-1 up, and Bolton had a corner and we cleared it. And then Thomas Radzinski was quick. He latched onto it, and the keeper was come hurling out. It was right on the throwing line, and the keeper's come hurling out. And Radzinski, the centre half's come hurling across, sorry. And Radzinski skipped past him. So it was like, I'm in the middle. I'm like getting forward, thinking I've got a chance here. And if Radzinski squares it, I'm in on goal with the keeper to beat. And he did. And as the ball's coming across, it was like slow motion, satisfied. So the ball's coming across, I'm on the edge of the box, and for some reason, I watch it now and think, why didn't I take a touch? For some reason, I thought, I'll finish this one touch. And I did, I made a good connection, and I beat the keeper and I scored. And then it just went like, that was like, for me, that was like the moment where, like I said before, from 12 to, I think it was 18 then, you're working for that moment, and that was probably the best moment. You know
some
what I mean?
Ground Goodison as well to score
in front of the Gladys Street. Yeah. I'm giving it the big licks, like look at me name and all that. So and all the lads come over, which was nice because the lads were made up for me because they must have seen it was a big achievement, a big moment for a young player. So,
so go on, name some of them players in that team then. So you say Gazza, Ginola,
Radzinski. They were in the team. Radzinski was up front. Yeah, I think Steve Watson was in the team. Alan Stubbs, Davey Weir, David Unsworth. Who'd have been in the middle of the pitch? Probably Mark Pembridge, Lee Carsley, maybe Scott Gemmell was around that time.
A couple of non-league managers in there as well.
Who else played? But there was some real good. I would say there was good men around at that time who helped.
Did you have family in the crowd?
Yeah, so it was nice. That was the best thing for me. I went and scored two or three more straight away at Goodison. So I came on and scored against Leicester. And then I started against Blackburn. I think it was a Super Sunday game. And I scored again then. So like my nan and granddad would come to that game. And like my dad would come to every game. So he was at the first one.
But like you paid your dad
better. Yeah, that was better for me. The fact that my family, I remember Taff was like 6'7", centre half, was like big and ugly centre half. I'd had a great career. But he'd been my youth team coach and Reggie manager. He's in tears when I scored my first goal after the game. Me and him were almost in tears. It was like such a moment. And then, like say, like my nan and granddad were in the crowd, my sister would come and all that. So I was almost more pleased. Once I'd scored my first goal, I was a little bit more like, this is just how it's going to go now. I'm just going to keep coming on, score, get in the team, and then that's the way it's going to be. So I quickly got involved in it and got like used to my surroundings and being with them sorts of players and being in that environment. But it was nice. Looking back, it was lovely for my family, especially my dad, who'd been to every game I'd ever played, to be able to experience that moment. Yeah.
Can you remember who was in the Blackburn side? Was Shearer?
I think it was York and Cole were up front.
Was it?
Yeah.
That's class.
Yeah. Who else? I think, was it Lorenzo Amoruso might have been in the side that day.
Shit-rovers or whatever.
I'm not too sure, to be fair. I'm not too sure. I think Ian Walker was in goal at Leicester when I scored. I remember that. Robbie Savage played in the Leicester side.
I was trying to think who'd be the Blackburn keeper.
Was Brad Friedel?
Flowers?
Maybe after Flowers. Did Brad Friedel play for Blackburn?
Yeah, Brad Friedel.
I think it was Brad Friedel. I think it was.
Class.
So
after that then, you scored three quick goals and then it stuttered a little bit.
Yeah.
Why, like any reason behind that? How did that make you feel?
It was just, I was at such a big club. And I think probably in David Moyes' eyes, I think he wanted that young, fresh, energetic impetus, and we stayed up that season. But I don't think it was probably ever his long-term plan to play me up front as Everton's number nine. And I didn't think that was going to be the case either. I was just happy to be doing as well as I could.
Yeah. How many years below was Rooney?
So Rooney was 2 years, but Wayne was 2 years below.
So he just started to...
Yeah. Yeah. So the next season, I think I had a hernia.
Do you think that affected you?
I think it did, yeah. I mean, there was always the conveyor, but you're like Jeffers, Cadamatri, Phil Jevons, myself. Then you had Wayne, then you had James Vaughan, then you had Victor Anachibi. So a club like Everton, you're always getting the next one. And I think you've got to take your chance. And if you don't,
you move on because the next one's going to be there. And that was the case. I think the season after I broke through, I needed a hernia op quite early on in the season. And I sort of missed that pre-season type. I always thought pre-season, I always looked at it. And I say again, something I say to the young lads now, I think young players get an opportunity at the pre-season or the end of the season. Now, I'd got my chance at the end of one season and I wanted to make sure I made the most of it the pre-season after. And I think I did. I think I scored a few goals and I was right in amongst it. And for whatever reason, I think I got a hernia injury or was out. For some reason, I wasn't playing as well. I can't quite remember. And all of a sudden, Wayne was in and around things. And you look back now and think, no one was going to be able to stop Wayne. You know what I mean?
Coming through now.
It was a phenomenon.
Yeah.
And so Wayne broke through, and then they were never going to be able to play a young lad alongside another young lad up front. And to be honest, I probably wasn't good enough either. That's the crux of it, and certainly nowhere near Wayne's ability. So Wayne broke through, and then I started to struggle with, I had the odd hernia injury. I went out on loan to Derby and didn't score.
Yeah.
And I had some other times when I came on and I scored and I still managed to get involved. But it was always a little bit stop-start for me then. And I got to the stage and I got a little bit frustrated. I was like 4 years in the resis. And I was like, by my fourth year, it wasn't quite the same as it was when I was 17.
You want out, don't you, though, by then?
Like. Yeah, and I was thinking...
Did it change to like a bit tappy-tappy like it is now as well? Or?
Not so much, no. And like looking back now, I should have just stayed because I was like, I was right in the mix still. I was training with the first team every day, getting opportunities. I think like the week or 2 weeks before I eventually left, I got on against Sunderland in the Premier League.
Right.
And I was still only like 20, 21. So like, why? What, there wasn't this rush to actually for it to happen. I think, but because I'd played quite young.
Because Rooney would have left maybe not.
Yeah, I think he was
on to Man United not long after that.
I think he was still there when I left, I think. But like Leon Osman had broke through, who I was good mates with. Tony Hibbert had broke through and stayed who I was good mates with. So Peter Clark had sort of broken in and was a bit like me, really. I think he eventually went to Blackpool. So it was that time for me. I mean, I was out of contract and David Moyes said to me, I'll give you another year. There's no rush for you to leave. But I'd been out on loan to Millwall and done quite well. And there was a deal there for me to go to Millwall, which if it had got done, I think would have been the right move for me, but it didn't quite go through. And after that, I was then getting the urge to go and prove myself, I suppose.
Because when you was at Millwall, you ended up like having a really good FA Cup run. You end up getting to the final, but like it's a strange one because you like didn't Everton recall you?
It was three days before
the final.
Yeah. No, so I was there before the Christmas period. And again, I had to go back to have my other side of the hernia done, so I had the other side done. So I went back to Everton, and I'd done quite well. And then I think Millwall offered about 500 grand at the time. And I wanted to do it. I loved, like, Dennis Wise was the manager, Ray Wilkins was the assistant. And they had a good side. We were about 11th to 10th in the Championship. I loved the Den. It was, like, brilliant.
Yeah. Was he as fiery as what he's seen?
Yeah.
Dennis Wise?
Yeah.
Was he?
Yeah. We had like
Jack Russell.
Like he must be totally different to David Moyes at Everton, and then you've got Dennis Wise.
Yeah, a little bit, but they both had that fire. So, and like, but Kevin Muscat played in the side and he was like,
Muscat.
Horrible.
Is that, who says that?
What's that?
What manager says something about Muscat?
Yeah, most of them.
Neil Warnock,
yeah.
That's a Muscat, that.
Yeah, he did, yeah. I've seen the clip, yeah.
That's a fucking Muscat.
That's what he was like. He was naughty, like. But that was like, there was a scrap in the tunnel every other week. But it was like, it was proper. I'd gone like 4 years playing the resis and all of a sudden it was 3 points. It was like, I was in and around it in the thick of it in the Championship. Yeah. And I went back to Everton anyway and had me hernia done. And I wanted to go back to Millwall. But David Moyes wanted me to go to Coventry, I think it was, on loan, or somewhere else on loan. But I was like, I was determined, if you like. I was a bit stubborn. I was thinking Millwall's the right place for me. And again, looking back, David Moyes might have been right. Who knows? I perhaps should have maybe gone on loan elsewhere. But I hung on and went back to Millwall on loan. And it was a week of the semi-final when I went back at Old Trafford. And we played Sunderland. And Wisey said to me, he said, you'll be sub. I'm going to play the team that got us through the quarters. You'll be sub, but I want to get you on. And I was like, oh, brilliant. And again, family are all up at Old Trafford. And it was like, the atmosphere was amazing. And we had two injuries in the first half. And then we were winning. Tim Cahill scored. And we were winning. So he brought a defender on it.
God,
like, towards the second half. I was like, what happened to me getting on in the FA Cup semi-final? But it was just the way the game panned out. So it was an unbelievable experience to be in the FA Cup semi-final. We got to the final. And then... And then, like you say, I was, I couldn't, oh yeah, got, I played all season and Danny Dicchio got sent off at Forest like a few weeks before. I think Neil Harris was injured. So I was thinking, I'm definitely playing in the final. But the issue was my loan expired. You can only do a certain amount of days on loan at a club.
Because the cup final goes past that date. Yeah.
So it was like appeal to the FA, get an extension on the deadline because it's the FA Cup final, but they couldn't. I had to go back, so I went back like
a week before, and you played. Do you reckon?
Well, they had no centre forwards. I think Neil Harris ended up playing. Dan Dicchio definitely didn't, so I had to go back. So I couldn't play. But
how did they go on?
We lost.
But Millwall were good to me. They invited.
You mentioned Cahill, like he was top notch then, weren't he?
Yeah,
the Millwall. Yeah. Was really
brilliant good. Player, brilliant lad. And but Millwall invited me back for the final, so I had the cup final suit and went down. It was at Millennium, so went down a couple of days earlier. And
was you all right getting in the car park?
Yeah, just about. But it was good. I was with like the injured and suspended boys, so we were like out two nights before the final. We were out the night before the final, so come the cup final, we were sat on the bench about 6 hours sleep. But Dennis White, he gave a great speech before the final, and he had a little half a glass of champagne, and he made a toast to everyone. And like, if you wanted to drink it, you drank it. If you wanted to chuck it over your shoulder, you did. But that was the. I thought it was quite nice with it being.
Can you remember like anything that he said?
I think it was just around like, no one expected us to get here. What an achievement it is to be here. You're playing Man United in the FA Cup final. Like, you've won already, but go out. Let's give it our best, and you never know what might happen.
But he gave you champagne before the game?
Before the game. This was before we got.
No, well, he's got a
bit. I was going round nicking everybody's little arm. I couldn't play.
Air of the dog.
But in typical Wisey fashion, I remember him going out in the first couple of minutes, I think he smashed into Ronaldo or someone like that. And that was a little message to our team more so than Man United. It was a case of, come on, we're here to win. Let's just have a go. Yeah. And that was the mentality of that Millwall side. It was like, let's have a tear up, let's have a go and see where it takes us. And obviously, I think Ronaldo scored two on the day and I think Scholes scored.
Right.
Maybe. And we lost, I think it was 3-1, 3-0.
Ronaldo.
What could have been though?
Yeah, it was great memories. We look back to like that team that played. It wasn't full of big hitters. There wasn't. I mean, Tim Cahill obviously went off to Everton and did really well.
Yeah,
but like a lot of the team were just like good, solid lads who stuck together, who were talented, were a talented bunch, and managed to get to the FA Cup final.
That was a good team spirit as well.
Yeah.
Like that.
Yeah, brilliant.
Right, once again, big thank you to Sky Fantasy Football for sponsoring the pod. Not far off now, are we, Jordan?
Oh, not long to go. Who's going to win it?
What, the Premier League?
Yeah.
Oh, we're only a week off now. I don't think you can look past Man City.
No, too good out
there. Yeah, too good. So if you want to come and challenge us, obviously there's going to be a cash prize, and then we can double or quit sit for the round of golf against me and Jordan. The pin is on the screen. On the socials, get yourself a name, get yourself a team, come and challenge us.
Have we still got Mitrovic up front?
No, we've not.
I think
he's about as useful as you. We've swapped him out. I don't think anyone will beat us.
No.
Come on, the Corrie Stash.
So the season after, is that when you went to Plymouth?
So then, yeah, I came back from Millwall. I'd already been to Derby on loan, which didn't go so well. Then I went to Millwall on loan, it went all right. And then I just had that itch then to get out and play. Yeah. And look back now, I shouldn't have. I was loving it. I love Everton, love the club, love my time there, loved the players. The coaches all liked me. I was well thought of, as you've said. I was doing all right. I was still in around it. But I just had this itch to go and like, in my mind, I was going to go to the Championship, score a load of goals as I'd always done, and then I'd be back to the Prem. It was just going to be dead easy, like. And I had no idea. I had no idea of the game. I thought I did. I had no idea. And in the end, we played Plymouth in the FA Cup, and I came on when I was at Everton. And I came on and scored. And I didn't know at the time, but I think a deal had been done. It was a Saturday night. It was on the BBC, the Cup game. And on the Friday night, I think they'd already done the deal, or a deal had been discussed.
And you'd not been told about it?
I didn't know, no. So
I think we've talked about this before. But like, I don't take this the wrong way, but back in the olden days, like clubs used to agree a fee and a player would just get told, right, okay, we've sold you to whoever. And that was it, really. Yeah, decision made.
Well, I remember getting told...
because Plymouth's a long way from Everton.
I accepted a bid from Plymouth. And I, at the end of the season, I had an agent who was telling me, you've got like all these Championship clubs, nearly every Championship club lined up. But in my mind, I was like, I've only got a few months left. Then I've got no contract. So again, I'd never been in that position before. So, but David Moyes had said, look, don't worry about that. We will offer you another year.
Yeah.
Which now I would have took. But back then I was like, well, I'll see what happens. And I went down to Plymouth, and a lot of the senior pros and a lot of the staff were going, don't go down to Plymouth. Like, they'd only just gone to the Championship. Like, it's miles away. Like,
what, is it a 6-hour drive, that?
Yeah. They were like, what are you doing? But I went down there, and the chief exec at the time at Plymouth had been club secretary at Everton, Michael Dunford. So I thought, I'll pay them the respect that's due. I'll go down there and meet them. And then, again, in hindsight, once I'd gone down there, I was going to sign. And I looked around the hole, and Plymouth's a beautiful area. I loved my time there, and I loved the area. And as soon as I got down there then, and I met Michael Dunford, and he told me their plans, and they'd just got to the Championship, and it was an exciting time to be part of the club. And I thought, This is where I want to be. They offered me four years as well, which all of a sudden I thought, I've gone from having a couple of months left on my deal to 4.5 years.
Yeah.
Where do I sign?
Yeah.
And they paid a decent fee for you, 250,000, weren't it?
Yeah. Yeah. So at the time, I think that was there.
I mean, back in them days.
There. Yeah, back in the day. yeah, 40 years ago.
Good fee.
Oh, so yeah. But I went down to see them and then I come home. So that was 6 hours down, all day there, 6 hours back. And then decided to go. So six hours back down the next day, hours back down there. And I think there was a resi game on at the night, and I signed with Bobby Williamson, was the manager, who was a Scots fellow. And I signed that night, and him and my agent went out for a curry and a few beers on the Barbican, I think. I was thinking, what's going on here? I've got training tomorrow, a bit like your tale before.
Yeah, go out with him. No.
No, I stayed on the Coke and the water.
Good lad. How did that pan out for you, Plymouth?
It was difficult. I mean,
difficult because you was in a losing side.
I experienced quite a few firsts when I went to Plymouth. So for the first time, I experienced not scoring regular, and I didn't really handle that very well. And then because I'd gone there as quite a big signing, and I was from Everton, I think there was the immediate pressure really of that, which I obviously hadn't experienced.
Was you on your own as well?
I was on my own, but the lads were brilliant. That was the best thing was.
And how old were you? 21?
Like 21, 22.
Yeah.
Plymouth at the time had a group of lads all that age. So it was like, it was in terms of the lads and me settling in, I was okay. But we were playing some good side. They'd just come up from League One, and we were playing like, I think my second game was West Ham away. And like, they had like Sheddingham playing and Anton Ferdinand and like Mark Noble and all these like big hitters for West Ham. And we're Plymouth, and like, we held our own. We were like Wolves, Sheffield United, West Ham, all these big, massive clubs. And I think we were 17th in the league. So inevitably, you weren't getting the same chances. And I was the type of player who was never going to create my own chances. I didn't pick up the ball and go past a couple and score. I was getting on the end of things, or I was getting slid through to score. So I went games without scoring. And I remember after, I think I'd only played six games, and Dexter Blackstock signed at the same time. And I remember Bob Williamson pulling me in and saying, I'm not going to play you today. And I think we're playing Brighton. And he had the curly finger, you know, before the game. So I had to do the walk of shame into the physio.
The worst, that, isn't it?
Yeah.
We've all
experienced it.
Sake.
So I went and he went, I'm not going to play you. And I was, but I was like still full of it and determined to do well. And I thought, I'm here to score. And
did you think you'd been playing well? Or
I thought I'd been doing all right. Yeah. We'd had a tough run of fixtures as well, from what I remember. And we'd had an half decent run. It wasn't like we'd been beat every week. So I argued my case. I said, what are you on about? I was like, I've played quite well. You've just signed me. It's only my sixth game. I know I haven't scored, but we're doing quite well. And he went, I've changed my mind. You're back in. And I went, no. I said, don't tell me I'm not playing and then change. He went, no, you're back in. So straight then I was like, you can imagine it, can't you? I'm walking back into the dressing room. All the lads are thinking I've been dropped.
Yeah, but then I've been
yeah. Like, yeah. Yeah, but no.
Yeah.
And like,
you argue with him, you'll get back in.
Yeah. And I scored like 15 minutes in. I scored. And then I remember him saying to me, we were in the next day because we played on the Tuesday night. And I remember him saying to me, it worked, like my psychology worked.
Oh, no.
I was thinking, no.
Let me do that.
Yeah,
I love how they do that.
Yeah.
It's all down to me, that goal.
Yeah. And I thought, no, it wasn't that. I
knew something needed to happen.
Yeah. And then I never scored on I think it was the Tuesday night I didn't score. And on the Saturday, we were playing away. And I got the old phone in the hotel room. Come to my room. So I went to his room and he went, I'm leaving you out and you can't change my mind this time. And I was like, right, great.
What's but I loved it.
Yeah, brilliant. I was going to say.
Yeah, is it?
Yeah. It's probably
got us all
into trouble. But it worked both ways because we had such a good team spirit. One, because of that, and two, because of the journeys.
Everywhere. Everywhere's miles away.
Bobby Williamson would travel. We'd play like QPR and we'd set off at like 6:30 on a Friday night. So you wouldn't be getting there till like 10:30, 11:00. And then the hotels you stayed in at the time weren't the best. So you'd rock up at this like hotel. Yeah. And then you'd be playing like QPR or like whoever the next day, like big game. And you'd have like, we'd had no pre-match. It was like, we're sponsored by, Ginster's pasties at the time. loads of butties and pasties at the back of the bus that we'd munch on the way.
Is that your pre-match?
That was the pre-match.
That was the night before the game.
So, but that created what we had. We stayed up easily that season, and then we had a couple of real solid seasons where, like, eventually Tony Pulis came in.
Yeah,
he took us to a different level again, where he made us really competitive at that level. And then Ian Holloway came in, who then, off the back of being solid and strong and having a good foundation under Tony Pulis, Ian Holloway came in and we started playing good football and he signed some really good players like Sylvain Ebanks-Blake and Barry Hales and the quality of player that started to come in. All of a sudden, we were a really strong championship outfit.
Like, I was trying to work out, it was about 6.5 years from scoring in the Premier League to then dropping into non-league.
Yeah.
Which is quick.
Yeah, yeah.
And that's just...
You normally hit a few more branches, don't you?
Of course you do, yeah.
Yeah. If you start high enough, that should have been the end of me, shouldn't it? But because I hadn't played.
I think it sounds like a lot of injuries, playing.
I think me going a couple of years without playing, I think that was the main sticking point. And I made the decision then that if I play enough games, I'll play me way back up again. That was my mentality, really.
Yeah.
And I just thought, I'm not like... I didn't have the ego. I've never really had the ego of a big hitter. I wasn't bothered about that. I just wanted to start playing football and enjoying it. And I spoke
Why did you go to Chester then?
Well, I spoke to Mick Wadsworth. Mick Wadsworth was at Chester. And he was a real good guy. And he said, come in here, play some games. He went, we haven't got much money, but it's on your doorstep. Get back enjoying it. And I was like, yeah, great. So that's what I did. I went to Chester and... football side went really well. It was just everything else that was going on was a shambles.
Well, yeah, well, they were falling apart, weren't they?
Yeah, yeah. So
you actually didn't play for them, by the way.
I know. Yeah, if you look on the records, it's
17
not there.
Goals gone.
Hello.
Really, isn't it?
Even from
you had a good season with them, didn't
you? Yeah. So the fans wanted the chairman out at the time, and the sticking point was a couple of the lads that played for us were the chairman's lads. So we'd be playing. And like the fans would start singing songs against the chairman. And like the chairman's lad who was playing, just sit down in the middle of the pitch.
Chairman's lad is in his son.
Yeah, his son. He's playing. So the fans are
sit down.
The fans are like slagging the chairman, singing whatever. And they just sit down. Everyone would be like, come on. He'd be like, no, I'm not playing.
No way.
Yeah. So like, and
can't
then
do that, can you? Yeah.
It was like, it was mad.
That's like,
it was mad.
Was his dad loaded? Because that's like rich kid mentality, that, and it just sit down.
I could understand it. You know what I mean? It was quite. It was. It wasn't like. It wasn't nice.
You just what some men. Like, you can't just sit like, down. Yeah.
We did.
Just stop. That was the end of it.
And then we were beating somebody 2-0. The fans ran on the pitch to protest. It was game abandoned. And you're thinking,
what, when you was winning?
We're winning, yeah.
And like, that's Chester fans for you, that, honestly.
For their fans, it was like, the bigger picture was, we want to make a statement sound. But winning 2-0, I've scored 2.
I was just about to say.
You scored 19.
Probably.
I was just about to say, not a similar situation, but I scored 1-0 and then a parachutist dropped on the pitch.
Where is this
The game was abandoned.
Where at?
You can Google it. It's on YouTube. I don't know how he misguided and landed on the pitch.
I had a waterlogged one.
You're fuming.
I scored against Leicester.
Do you know, beat him off? He's wrapped in his parachute.
You're fuming, aren't you?
Fuming. That's what I'm going to say. So you were 2-0 up. That got abandoned. Yeah.
But it become like these sorts of things were that regular. You all of a sudden, like, lads stopped being paid and all that. And then you was thinking, it was just one drama after the next. Yeah. And like, we come payday, you were queuing up outside the secretary's. There was the stairway to the secretary's office, and we were queuing up for your wages that you got cash. And your wages said different to your pay slip. And you'd go up the stairs. You didn't know if you were going to get 4 weeks' money or a week's or none. Like, I was doing all right, and I was captain. So I'd go up and they'd go like, Nick, here's your wages kind of thing. And I'd go, thanks. And it was like, no question asked about the pay slip. It was like, thank God for that.
Yeah.
But a couple of lads would go up and come back and go, oh, no. Like, if they've been injured, or young lads, I haven't got anything.
Oh, it's horrible.
It got... In the end, I think the PFA got involved, and I remember meeting the PFA on behalf of all the lads at the time, and the players got paid out of the benevolent fund with the PFA. The PFA were amazing, like, they got involved, and I think
the PFA got involved when it was non-league.
Yeah, they did that. They did then. Yeah, it was good. But I remember I think Portsmouth were in the similar boat at the time, and I remember some of the Portsmouth lads coming on Sky Sports News saying it was a disgrace, they hadn't been paid, and X, Y, and Z. And I was thinking, well, it's a little bit different when you've like 20 grand a week haven't been paid. And some of our lads literally were saying to me,
too tall.
Nick, I can't get into work. I can't petrol in my car. So I'd be on the phone to the PFA going, these lads can't put petrol in the car, literally. And but they were really good. I met a couple of them from the PFA who...
Bet the PFA didn't sort Portsmouth wages out, did they?
I think they did. I think they were involved in that as well. But it's difficult, isn't it, when lads aren't being paid and they can't get in. It was just a difficult situation. But eventually, I moved on. I think I was owed.
You went, yeah.
They bought another manager. They bought Merrell Mason, I think his name was.
No, I don't know.
They bought him in from Chester, and by this time, I'd said, look, I'm going to be moving. Like, I'm going to sort that out. And the chairman had said, yeah, you go and sort yourself out. And I get a call off one of the lads and he says, they've got a new manager in. Some money's floating around, like they're gonna pay us. Come down to training. So I was like, I said, you get mine, or I'll just get it on like next week or whenever. For whatever reason, I couldn't make the day they were saying. So they all got some wages, like 2 weeks cash, I think it was wages. But I hadn't gone. So I was like, it's all right, this new manager's coming, like he's going to sort me out. The lads are telling me he's all right. So rang this new manager, told him the situation, this Morel. And he went, yeah, I've got, like, your wages are here. Come down on Tuesday for training, like, we'll sort you out. So Tuesday comes, I'm on the way, phone call from the club secretary. No one's in tonight, Nick. No one's here, like, manager's not here, so no point you coming down. All right, then.
What about the wages?
Next week, call again. Manager's not here. Next week, phone the manager. Oh, I'm down south at the minute. All the wages are in my business account. We've locked it away. I'll be there, but I won't have your wages. And the week just went by and went by. And he robbed me. He robbed it.
What,
never given me the...
What do you reckon it was?
Oh, I don't know.
He's a few Robbed it.
It doesn't matter.
He robbed his money. He kept it.
So I never got there. It was a couple of weeks and I moved. I went to Barrow. I could have gone to a couple of clubs. I could have gone down south. Barrow trained in Manchester.
Do you miss that 40 quid that it took?
Exactly, yeah. So I just said to Barrow at the time, I said, look, this is the amount I'm owed in wages. I think it's like 6 weeks. I said, I'm going to need some sort of signing on, which they give me. And then I ended up going to Barrow,
which is
Barrow, isn't it? I enjoyed the trip up there on a Saturday. But they trained in Manchester, so again,
yeah.
It's local.
Yeah, they do.
So I could have gone to, like, I think it was like Wimbledon at the time. We're having a bit of a push. Stevenage were having a bit of a push. They wanted me to go down south, but...
Wimbledon in, they were still in the National League.
I think they were in the National League. Yeah, they were just about to go up. Stevenage the same, I think, or they were maybe in the league above. Crawley were down there at the time. I think they were interested, but... I didn't want to move down south, so I went to Barrow and had a couple of seasons there.
How much the played against you then?
Yeah, probably.
Must have done.
Where were you then?
Fleetwood. So we won the league because that year we got beat off Wimbledon in the semi-finals. Yeah. And then the year after we won.
I think we Fleetwood won the National League.
Would have been 0-0 that game. You two up top at the end.
imagine.
I think Fleetwood had already gone up.
Had they?
I think they'd already gone up, yeah.
Might have done.
But,
and then you ended up at Stockport.
Yeah.
I didn't know this.
Dietmar Hamann.
Yeah. So the first season, Stockport were in the National League. That's when I went there. And again, I'd had a knee injury at Barrow, which was funny. So they had a physio at Barrow. And his job title before being a physio at Barrow was pizza delivery man.
No, it wasn't.
And now he was physio. So my knee was swelling and he was saying to me,
put some cheese on it.
You need
some pepperoni. Yeah. Put a topping on that.
So he was like, you need to retire. And I was like,
retire?
Retire. And he was like, well, if you keep swelling, don't really know what you've done. You need to retire. And I was thinking, not a chance, like, do I need to retire? Then I had the manager going,
you don't need a piece of that, do you?
Yeah. Slice of it. So he'd go, so the manager was going, just give us an hour. And I was going, have you seen the size of my knee? And he go, well, give us an hour. And at the time, I was desperate to play, so I'd be like, go on then. So I'd play an hour. And my knee would be like this big. And then the physio was a lovely fella. He was a great guy. I loved him to bits. But he was going, Nick, you're going to have to retire. And I was going, not a chance. So at the end of paid.
Just on that, well, he didn't work for Domino's today, because if it's over an hour, you don't have to pay. Is that how it works? It's over an hour, you don't have to pay.
Just repeating his shit joke again, just seeing it.
I liked it.
So I paid the PFA for a scan, and they said you've just done your cartilage in your knee, like 4 weeks just cartilage trim. So I was the op was booked the night before the op. I had the hospital on the phone saying, "You're in tomorrow, but no one's paid for your operation." So I was going, well, what? The club have paid for it. So I was on the phone to the chairman at Barrow, and. I'll get back to you. This was like 6 o'clock and I'd be in an operation the next day. So the chairman phones me and says, we can't afford to pay for an operation. We can't go private. We've got to pay out. We've just got to pay. You're going to have to go on the NHS. I was like, well, how long's the waiting list on the NHS? They were like 6 months. I was like, I'm waiting 6 months. So I was into the savings, like I was on the phone to one or two people. Look, I've got this operation tomorrow. I need to pay it's $6,500 or something. So I had to pay it myself. So I paid it myself. And again, I was onto the PFA, were brilliant. They sorted me out in terms of.
Did you get it back?
Got it back, yeah, through the PFA.
Can't go NHS when you're.
$6,500 as well. Just
and wait
that
time.
Yeah.
So.
Give Aaron Burns a call. Insurance.
Yeah. So. So I got it back to the PFA.
Yeah.
And then I was thinking, well, I ain't going back to the physio for rehab and all that. So I went into Everton, did a bit of rehab there. I went down to St. George's and did some rehab there. And I got to the end of the season. The manager phoned me up and went, listen, Nick, I think it's best that, you know, we probably won't be offering you anything. I was like, fucking right, you won't be offering me anything. You think I'm coming back? So I left Barrow and then I was out without a club again. So I went training at Alty. And
what a club.
Yeah, played against Burnley. Some of the Burnley lads were like, what are you doing playing?
Adult lads, don't fucking start.
I played against in the league like 2 years before. So but from playing for Alty,
was it not nice just to be enjoying it again and
that was fine. Like, I wasn't like
I say this to some lads now when they talk about like my head's gone and all that. I'm like, you've got to deal with stuff in your life. You've got to deal with the cards that you're dealt. You know
it's
what
that
I mean?
Resilience that we talk about all the time. Lads don't have it much.
I was just getting on with it really, and I was enjoying being at home, and I had a decent life, and I was still earning to like the average guy. I was still earning all right money, and I was playing football. So I was still young enough, and I still had that belief in myself that just keep playing and you'll get back. And I scored a few goals for Barrow, and we won the trophy as well. So there was some good times in terms of the season I had at Barrow over the 18 months.
Was that at Wembley?
Yeah. I didn't play. I'd been cup tied because I played for Chester.
So you missed out on another Wembley.
How many finals have you missed?
Yeah, I know. So as part of it, I think I give my medal to the sports science guy or another of the physio guys who
not the Domino's
who was, guy. No. It was the one before him. But that was there were some good times as well. And I was enjoying it, and there's some great lads at Barrow and great lads. And when I went into Stockport, so I think Didier Manor got wind of I was available. And he was trying to form like a new side, if you like, at Stockport. And I went in under Didier Mann, and he immediately made me captain. It was difficult because Stockport is a big club. It's not a national league club. And for the first time, they found themselves in the national league. And there was a frustration amongst the fan base and amongst the club straight before I even walked through the door. There was a frustration that they were even at that level. And I think they expected to just go and walk the league straight away, but there was financial restraints again with that club and what was going on at the time that was never going to be the case. And they had some good young players, and Sean McConville had come from Aki for quite good money. So there was Tom Elliott was there at the time and myself. So we had an half decent side. It just needed a little bit of time just to bed in, a little bit of patience. But
such a hard league to get out of.
Yeah,
well,
it's the worst, isn't it?
Such a hard league.
Well, Stockport ended up in that league and below for
they went down,
how many years?
Yeah.
So, but that was their first season at it. So I think even the fan base was a little bit frustrated and wanted to get bounced straight back in. And
never won there.
Stockport. Never won. Yeah, it's a tough place to go.
Yeah.
But I loved it. I love being at Stockport. I love the club. It was challenging because as I say, they wanted to get straight back up. I think we were about 10th, 9th or 10th.
And how did you find the manager then?
I loved him.
Was he good?
Dead chilled.
I've got this picture of him like doing team talks with a cig because someone said he used to smoke.
Did all the time. Yeah, but never, he was professional. Like he wasn't like that in and around the changes, but in his office, I'd go to his office like in the morning if any of the lads had any issues or whatever. And he'd love like ciggy smoke or like he was dead chilled, dead real good guy. I remember we had a couple of nights out as lads, and I was going to him, come on, you've got to come and all that, because he was the type of fella you wanted to come. But his talent was ridiculous as well, like on the training.
Did he join in?
Pitch, yeah, and he was like,
I remember scoring. I went to it was a last ever England versus Germany game, last ever England game at Wembley. The old Wembley, and I went to watch it, and I went to the toilet and missed his goal. I think he scored it 1-0.
Yeah,
missed his goal, but
he looked like line the ball up at the end of the training and have a shot at goal and everyone have a goal. He loved that, and it had come to his turn, and he just spank it into the top corner all the time, and he was ability wise, he was frightening. But as a guy as well, he was a real nice guy, and he got loads of stick from his time when he was at Stockport, but he had Jim Gannon was circling at the time. I think the fans wanted Jim Gannon to go back, and he was circling, and
he's been back and forth in time.
he didn't have a chance to do well, really. No. But I think given a bit of time and his football and philosophy, some of the managers and the players he's worked under, he'd have been a really good. I think he'd have been a really good manager. I think that probably
he'd have probably been a better manager higher up.
Yeah, possibly.
In the league.
But I think that experience put him off. I think he thought...
Yeah, because he's never really done much.
Been hammered there, like,
Stockport fans just caning him for 90 minutes on Saturday.
So out of your playing career, like, who would you say... Like, I always ask the question, like, who's the best player that you've played against or with, like...
Yeah. The obvious
really
ones
stands
are the Everton players, aren't they? Like, so Rooney was a league above in terms of his ability and not only that, but his attitude, he was aggressive and he wanted to do well and he was a winner. And so you would have to say anyone who's been on the same pitch as Rooney would have to say Rooney in terms of the best they played with. But I've been really lucky to play with some real top players. Playing against, again, I remember playing against the Invincibles at Highbury, and it was like first game of the season, and you're playing Sol Campbell and Keown with the two centre-halves. So you're thinking, I was like 19.
So that was Henry and all them? Team that was.
Yeah. So
Perez.
It was Jens Lehmann's debut, because Everton had a few injuries at the time. It was the end of pre-season. I'd done quite well. I spoke before about doing well in pre-season. I'd had a bit of a push. And I think like Joe Max Moore and Big Dunk and Kevin Campbell, they'd either been injured or suspended or whatever it was. I remember Moyes naming the team. I think we'd gone down to London. I think we were training like Hyde Park or just walking through set pieces at Hyde Park, and he brought us all in and he said, look, first game of the season, here's the team. If you do well, you'll keep the shirt. Well, I was thinking, I want to do well. You know what I mean? I want to keep my shirt. That was like, it was great for me because I had nothing to lose. And I remember the first 5 minutes I went out and a cross come in. It was right in front of goal. And I like just directed it first time. I thought I'd scored. And Jens Lehmann's going one way and I put it the other. And then his big German leg come out and just kicked it over the bar. He saved it. And I was like, it was a great save. But from 5-6 yards, I should have scored.
Against anyone else?
Yeah.
Done it.
I should have scored. Yeah, I should have scored. But it was a great save.
You feel like you should have scored?
Yeah, I should have scored. It was a great picture. I got a picture like from behind. All the Arsenal lads are looking at their chance. So you can see all the names on the shirts. It's like Overmars and Vieira and all them. And then there's me just about to score. What the picture doesn't show is that you saved it.
Well, great memories though.
Yeah, so playing against that team,
yeah,
for me, like, was brilliant. Chelsea came on at Chelsea to play against like your John Terry's and all that, and it was only like 10 minutes here and 5 minutes there, but you were on the pitch. Yeah, you know, like, Newcastle Shearer was on the pitch when I came out. Newcastle, I asked him for his shirt at the end of the game and things like that. So I came.
Get it?
He'd give it the kit man.
Did that? Yeah.
So he went to me off, give it the kit man. And then to be fair to him, he got his first half shirt and he found Steve Watson, who was mates with Steve Watson. He said, give that to
him. I thought you said he got mixed up with Steve. Yeah.
He gave it to him instead. Yeah. No, he said, give that to the lad who come on or whatever he said. So so that was, I tried to only get like real top quality player shirts. I came on at Goodison against United when they won the league at Goodison, and I'd like, they won the league. I remember like Giggs and Scholes doing like little keep you up headers, and I was in between like trying to get the ball, and they were keeping it up over my head. But it was great to come on against that team when they just won the league. That was amazing as well. So some brilliant memories of players and teams I've managed to play against. Julian Lescott, and I played against Julian Lescott. He's at Wolves.
All right,
he was probably, I would say he was the best centre-half I actually played against for a long enough period of time.
He had everything, really, didn't he?
Yeah.
He went to Man City after that, didn't he?
Yeah, he went to Everton, then to Man City.
He
was at Wolves at the time. But he at that level, the level that I really played at, because as I say, when you're coming on against these teams for 10, 15 minutes, but I think actually going up against someone for 90 minutes, he was probably the best.
At what point did you think coaching was for you after this?
I think because of, I knew with the injury I'd had and the way I'd fallen through the league quite quickly, I thought I'm going to have to work after football. I'm going to have to get into something. I knew that straight away. And I thought coaching would be for me. I love football, love the game. And then the more I stayed in the game, I went back to Plymouth after I'd been at Stockport. I went back to Plymouth and all of a sudden I just like, people just navigated towards me. Younger pros navigated towards me. People were asking me questions. People were asking my advice. People were listening to my thoughts on the game or on and off the pitch, really. I just sort of took on that role quite naturally.
Well, I suppose your last couple of clubs, you've been captain as well, aren't you?
Yeah.
So that kind of,
So I just sort of like morphed into it a little bit in terms of them leadership qualities. And then I just wanted to, once I knew I was leaving Plymouth, I went back to Plymouth and I had 2.5 years. I was like 30. And I knew once that contract had finished, I wanted to get back to the Northwest and wherever I played then, I played. So I started doing a bit of coaching when I was at Plymouth the second time around just helped out with the under 16s. I quite enjoyed it. And then when I left Plymouth, I went to Tamworth back in the National League. And that was a tough couple of months. And I started to think, like, I think I could do a better job than what's being done, coaching-wise and management-wise. And I thought, if you're thinking that as a player, either go and do something about it and become a coach or respect what's going on. So that's what I did. I phoned up some of the guys at Everton who were in the academy, and they said, great, come in. If you're back in the area, come in and come and help out. And
so where did you meet Jim Bentley?
So I met Jim on the A licence initially. I went into Morecambe during one of the times I was out of contract. I went into Morecambe and did a couple of weeks pre-season.
Some boy, Jim, innit?
Oh, I got on with him like house on fire straight away. Like,
yeah.
So I knew him from doing a couple of weeks at Morecambe, and he was a player still then, but he was exactly the same. And then we were on the A licence together. So we had the A licence then was like 2 weeks at St George's. So we just had like an amazing 2 weeks.
Thagdo.
30 lads. It was amazing.
Yeah.
And I got on really well with Jim during that time. So we sort of half stayed in touch since then. And then when I was at Wigan, he was at Morecambe as manager. He loaned a couple of players from us.
Yeah.
So we always just developed that relationship from then, really.
And then, so what are you doing now then?
So obviously I went into the coaching and was quite successful in sort of the younger age groups. That took me a while to build up. What I thought, I mean, going into coaching, I didn't want to be stood in front of a group of first team players not knowing what I was doing and shitting myself. I was like, I want to be able to earn my stripes and know what I was doing. So I worked with the babies at Everton, the foundation phase, went to Blackburn and worked with the youth phase and 15, 16 year olds there. And then on to Wigan and did the youth team at Wigan and progressed to the 21. So I progressed through quite well.
You did well at Wigan though, didn't you?
We had some good players,
didn't they?
We had some real good players. And then...
Can you say who's... Can you name a name who's the best one that you've worked with?
I've worked with a couple of good ones. Joe Gellard's outstanding. Yeah. He obviously went off to Leeds and he hasn't quite broken through yet, but I'd be amazed if he didn't. He had that, the X Factor, if you like, when you looked at him.
I thought it was a bit Rooney-esque.
Yeah, a little bit, yeah.
When he was at Wigan.
Yeah, because he's quite stocky and thick set, but he's got lightning feet and he can score and he can assist. And he's the one that everyone, when I was at Wigan, was really excited about. And he's got his potential's massive if he can fulfil it. But when people say he's a bit like Rooney, it almost can put pressure on him. And when you get to, he was 14 when I got there. And just to see that 14-year-old kid come through and then be able to play in the Premier League, talk about like rewards as your coach. It's an amazing thing.
And something for you to be proud of as
well.
Yeah,
like. Callum Lang's doing well at Wigan at the minute. He's a good player. Tello Asgard's at Wigan doing well. Quite a few have broke through at Wigan now. And then we had...
You had my mate as well, didn't you? When you shouldn't have done.
Who?
Colclough,
yeah. So when I was 21's coach, Paul Cook down again. Cookie had just like bin people off if they hadn't behaved themselves, and Ryan didn't behave himself quite
ever
a lot.
Did he not?
So often I get a call from Liam Richardson or Cookie to say, Ryan Colclough will be with you today. And then he'd turn up and his hand would be all bandaged or whatever. And I'd say, come on, Ryan, what are you up to? Like, and he'd train with us for a week or so.
No, he loved that you was actually salvaging him. He's like, no, I shouldn't be there, but they were all right.
Yeah. What I tried to do is anyone who got sent down, none of them wanted to be there. So I'd have like Max Power was one who come down once. Max was a big player for Wigan. He'd been training with the kids. And I was like, Max, go on, grab a cup of tea. What's going on? And I'd just try and talk to them on a level because none of them wanted to be training with the 21s. And then I'd get into them like, look, try and set these a good example, because I was working with a group of players that wanted to get to where they were.
Yeah.
So I got them on board straight away, or tried to. I just said, do it right. At least I can report back that he's gone about it the right way. And they were all, Ryan was good as gold, Max, like Bruce come down. There's a lot, some of the lads, inevitably, nearly all of them had a day or two with me at one point or another. But they all trained. They all trained really well. It was good. It was good for the kids as well, because they actually got to see what.
Yeah, even though it was a punishment for them, like. it was good for the younger ones.
Yeah, and there's some ability. Like Ryan's got tons of ability. Hasn't he?
Jolt of a player.
What's the future hold then?
More coaching.
Do you want to become a manager? Do you want to?
Was managing when.
Yeah.
Jim had his op.
Yeah, he was. Well, yeah, he took over.
Yeah. So at Fylde, when Jim first phoned me at Fylde, he was like, come and be assistant. We're going to go into administration. Come and be assistant. And then he said, but I've got to go off and have a heart bypass. He went, so for 3 months, you'll be the manager. And I was thinking, well, good experience that'd be for me. And then I'd have to work with like senior pros as well,
yeah.
who I hadn't done that before. So,
had the op, but come back within a week.
Yeah.
He's like,
he come back fairly quick. Machine. Yeah.
He had this app come in shouting about his insurance paying out.
After a week.
You want to see my bank balance, lads? Class guy, honestly.
He phoned me the night of his op. We had a game. I know it was like Alfred. I think it was.
I was and, probably on the bench. Or...
and he hadn't scored anyway. And,
you can't score in that team because Nick Horton just shoots from fucking 40 yards.
But he phoned me up and he went, have we got on and all that? And he'd only had the op like 2 hours previous.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
It was, and we won?
It was mad. I think we drew in the last minute. But that was good for me, you know, like working with like, not just his ear, but Jordan, Dave Perkins, Chris Neal, Pondy was there at the time. Lads who had
a good group. Orsi, Philly, Conlon.
Good side.
Ozzy. Yeah. It was a good side. Brains of Britain,
yeah.
Osman.
Yeah.
Whitmore, Skipper.
Yeah.
I was thinking the team they've gone up with is what you've put together.
I think nine of the starting team that got promoted were playing when we were there. So,
me and Samuel could have hit a fucking barn door. We would have been right.
The chairman got rid of us. So like we had like, we were top of the league nearly the whole season, weren't we? Yeah. I think we were second in the league. And the chairman's on the phone to the manager, the gaffer, like to Jim. And he said, we can't score. Like Jordan's not scored. And Samuel's not scored. Jordan's going back to Alty. And Samuel's going to Chorley. And we were like,
he just sent us both back.
There are two centre forwards. Like, and to be fair, both you and Samo were playing really well, weren't you?
It was we just doing all right in the end, yeah.
And Ortiz was scoring for fun.
Yeah.
So it weren't like the team weren't scoring. I think we were the top scorers in the league by a mile. We were like 72% possession. We had this like way of playing
we was doing all right that season.
Yeah, we were doing great.
I look back at my time and I think, I don't know why it didn't click because I loved all the lads.
Yeah.
I loved the coaching staff and Tails and didn't really like physio. Physio used to cane me.
Why?
I used to say, like, can I get a rub? He's like, no, you're not going to play anyway. So just leave it. Yeah, G. He was actually sound, but just used to get in my head. He'd be like, leave it because I'll give Orton a rub. He'll defo start. And I'd be like, oh, just what? Yeah. He was winding me up. But
it's almost like you were trying too hard when you were there.
Yeah.
And we had a way of playing that was a little bit more patient, I reckon. The problem, mate, might not have suited you.
And I was just,
and we were like,
stop making excuses.
Just say all the shit, champ.
No, I was. Played Exeter in the cup, you're
and I was class.
Yeah, outstanding.
You score?
Yeah.
So and one disallowed, was it? Or penalty that should have had, or one disallowed?
Yeah, we should have had a penalty as well.
Should have beaten, we lost.
COVID though, wasn't it?
Yeah. Not bad though, one game killed.
It was the COVID year and we'd have gone up that year.
Got so many excuses.
Yeah.
It does sound
just
like
COVID, out, yeah. Bands.
Yeah. The chairman got...
In Orton.
So the chairman gets rid of him and Samo and Jim's not happy like, and I'm going like, we've got a centre forward. And he says, it's all right. The chairman says, play like Man City with two false tens, two false nines, yeah. Two number tens as false nines. And we were like, might not be going, that might not go the way we want it to. Yeah. So, COVID year killed him. So,
I was from Rochdale, actually.
You went to Rochdale, yeah. So, Jim phoned us out the blue, really. About this time last year or a bit further on, I think the season started 10 games in. And he said, I think I've got a chance of the Rochdale job. They've mentioned about you coming. Would you be interested? And I was like, yeah, 100%. And it was just wrong club, wrong time at Rochdale. They had like, we were already bottom of the league. I think they had a point in the first 10 games. So that basically said that, I told you where the squad was at.
Yeah.
And a lot of the lads were tied into to 2 year deals and beyond. So we were quite honest with the board when we went in, and Jim was quite honest, and Jim said, look, we're going to need more than just the two of us to turn this round. I think Rochdale have been on a slippery slope for the last few seasons.
Yeah.
And we needed a whole culture change and quite a big change in a lot of the things that were going on. And we were told that was going to be the case, and it never really materialised. And I think the best clubs are the ones that are stable behind the scenes and have got the infrastructure right and got the right people in the right positions behind the scenes. And that was never really the case at Rochdale. So we felt a little bit like we were hung out to dry, really, a little bit, because they took us in. we didn't change much. We had 1 point from the first 10 games. It wasn't going to get that much better. It was difficult. We got the odd player in on loan in January, and there were some good people there who tried the best to help us to turn it around. But we never really got the support. Certainly, like, think about File. People talk about the chairman negatively at File, but to be fair to him, he always manages to support the management and whoever he's got in place, and the infrastructure they've got. The infrastructure they've got, it's set up for the club to succeed. The infrastructure at Rochdale just isn't there. So it was difficult, and a lot of the decisions we were told was going to be the club are going to be fully supportive of us and what we were trying to do, and we never managed, or Jim never managed, to be able to get his own team in place. And if he'd have been able to do that, his record shows the team he created at Morecambe stayed in the league for years.
Yeah.
The team he created at Fylde has been good enough to get promoted into the National League. 9 out of the 11 were his players. So had he been able to have got his own team together, I think we'd have been a lot more successful than ultimately we were. But it was a wrong club, wrong time for us. And ultimately, we were left to pay the price, and the club moves forward, which is football. If you don't win enough games, you end up moving on. But at some point, you need some sort of support to be able to be successful. And we never got that. So
it's like anything, you need backing, you need money, the right players. Yeah,
even if you've not
games,
if you've not got the money, I think
polish your turd.
Now, if you've not got the money, I think you need to, I think you need to be able to at least work hard to be able to make things better and get things as to as good standard as possible. I think there's an acceptance from before we went in that this was going to be a really tough period for the football club, and that's the way it's going to be. And we couldn't change that culture, if you like. We couldn't change that around just the two of us being in the building, as much as Hume knows Jim more than anyone. He's such a big character.
Yeah.
But he used to do like 5 minutes of stand up before training. Yeah. It was like a just comedy. Just, yeah, everyone was just creasing with laughter.
Yeah.
And like, say one of the lads, like the younger lads would say, like, oh, pull the bird on Saturday. Jim would go, right, circle of trust, young'un, get yourself in. What's happened?
Get on the X.
Tell us everything.
And in the end, I'd be giving him a nudge, going, come on, we've been studying 15 minutes, let's get training. Like,
that's brilliant, though, to get lads together.
Class.
But his man management and the way he is around the place was brilliant, but even he couldn't. His character wasn't big enough to be able to turn it round on his own.
No one could have done that if you needed character.
No, well, a lot of managers had turned the position down. Three or four, I think, had turned it down before Jim went in and we went in together. And once you're in there, you can see
why
people might be turning this down.
And so you hoping to work with Jim and find something else in the future?
Who knows? I love him. I think he's a good manager. But more importantly, he's a good person. So if we work together again, that would be fantastic. But also, I think I've had success when I was at Wigan in terms of being able to develop younger players. And I think that's a strength of mine, to be able to work with younger players and develop them and guide them into the path of professional football. So if that's a route for me, then that would be great. But I love the game. I love coaching. And I think I've got something to offer. So if I can stay in the game and be able to do that, then I'll be happy. And I think when I look at my football career, the most I enjoyed was the journey from like 16 to like the journey through. Actually, when you got there, it becomes difficult, if you like, not as enjoyable, the pressure and everything else. And that's similar to my coaching. I'm enjoying the journey. I'm enjoying wherever that takes me, and all these experiences, whether it be Rochdale last season, which was really difficult, or the Fylde side we had, or the success I've had at Wigan. I've enjoyed it, and I just want to be able to continue on doing that.
And you're bored. You're bored now.
Yeah.
Tell them you're
bored. Oh, bored, yeah. My golf handicaps come down. Can't do any more chores in the house.
Well, just obviously listening to your story then, and obviously all your experiences and the level that you've played at is unbelievable. Like, you should be so proud of your career, and you've obviously got a lot of experience and wealth of knowledge that you can pass on. So it's been a pleasure listening to you. Thanks very much for coming in.
Some of the biggest names we've had mentioned on here.
Yeah.
I don't want to be name dropping for fun. that's not why I'm here.
Yeah. But no, mate, I wish you all the best for the future. It's been an absolute
cheers.
Pleasure to have you in.
Nick, lads. Nice to see you again, pal.
Cheers, pal.
Cheers.
Yeah, class, mate. Cheers.